654-9659.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. Second half hour of our conversation with Pastor Chatfield. Pastor Chatfield got a text from Captain Jeff, airline pilot for years. What airline did Pastor Chatfield fly onto Israel, and what city did he leave from the U.S.? He traveled to Egypt and Israel back in 1987 on El Al, and the state airline of Israel said they have the very strictest security protocols of any airline in the world for obvious reasons. How did you get there?
Okay, I flew out of Detroit on Delta to JFK in New York, and from there, ITA airline, the Italian airline, to Rome, and from Rome on to Tel Aviv.
Ah, very cool. Excellent. And very strict security protocols at each airport?
Yes. Yeah, it was, and they were slightly different. In Detroit, they made you take your shoes off. They did not make you take your shoes off in Tel Aviv or Rome. I don't know why. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Very good. They're not familiar with shoe bombers, I guess.
I don't know. I mean, somebody knows what they're doing, especially in Israel. They know what they're doing. So,
yeah.
You know, I just, by the way, I was like, I hadn't flown overseas since 1994, last time I went to Israel, and it's like, yeah, there's a lot of security and, a lot of big airport, which was the least fun thing, is trying to navigate myself around JFK in New York City. I'm too old for stuff like that, but nevertheless, I made it. I'm back.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, let's continue on with the trip. Where did you go from there?
We landed, and by the way, the trip over. My tourism friends in Israel won't like this. It was miserable. You packed in there like sardines. You have to sit there, and but I made it. And no, I didn't have first class. We were there. We landed in Tel Aviv on. And by the way, I lost a day somewhere. I mean, I was confused on what day of the week it was. But I arrived there in Tel Aviv on what would be Tuesday at about 4 or 5 in the afternoon. We went to Caesarea, right on the ocean of ducts there that were built by the Romans a couple thousand years ago. And we were there. Then from there, we went up to the Sea of Galilee, where we had a hotel. Beautiful. The Sea of Galilee might be my favorite spot in all of Israel. It's in the northern section of Israel. Israel's not a big country at all. It's got the square mileage roughly equal to the state of New Jersey. So we spent the first night there in Tel Aviv. The next day we went up and went all over the northern part. We went to the Mount of Olives, which is on the northwest side of the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is about 12 miles long and about 5 miles wide, and it's roughly the shape of a pear, the Sea of Galilee is. And when we were on the northwest corner, that's where Jesus gave us the Sermon on the Mount. That was very pretty.
And then we traveled
over east to a place called the Golan Heights, which used to be controlled by Syria but is now officially annexed by Israel. They say it's ours, period, end of story. And from there, we went up to what's called Caesarea Philippi, the headwaters of the Jordan River. It's where Peter, when Jesus asks the question, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And Peter says, "Some say you're Isaiah, some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah, one of the prophets." And Jesus says, "Whom say ye that I am?" He says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And that's where Jesus responded, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Since I was there last time, they've discovered that spot where Jesus said that was a center of idolatry, and the gates of hell, there was a cave there. It was considered the gates of hell. It was a wicked place. But when Jesus said that, he said it one of the most idolatrous places in Israel. But, you know, the gates of hell will not prevail against the Church of Jesus Christ. I mean, it's a pretty profound place. And you, right at the headwaters of the Jordan River. And then we went on to a place called Magdala, which is where Mary Magdalene was from. So when you say Mary Magdalene, it's Mary of Magdala. And we get it comes to us as Mary Magdalene. And they've excavated that and built, as the Roman Catholic Church has built they've excavated and spent all the money and uncovered the synagogue there where Jesus undoubtedly stood and taught. And the same thing is true with the synagogue at Nazareth. I mean, we know exactly where that synagogue is because we know where it was. Thousands of years. That is pretty cool. Hey, this is where Jesus taught. The Bible says that he taught in their synagogues, all those synagogues there. We visited Capernaum, which is pretty close to where our motel was. That was the center on the northwestern edge of the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus, the center of his worship.
Isn't Capernaum the primary center of where he chose and recruited his base of his disciples? Didn't it all start there in Capernaum?
Yes. And we think that's where James and John and Peter and Andrew were from.
Yep.
And right there. And here's something cool. In 1986, they discovered a boat. And it was a low year, dry year. And there was this boat that these pair of brothers, Israeli Jews, discovered. And they said, wow, we've got something here. And they called the universities, and the archaeologists came, and they explained to us how it took weeks, months, even years to remove that boat. And they did, and they built a museum right there, and they very carefully, it's a long story, very carefully pulled that boat out. It's about maybe, I'm taking a guess here, about maybe 20 feet long. And the archaeologists believe it is the type of boat that Jesus was in, that he would have crossed while crossing the Sea of Galilee. It's the type of boat that the disciples were in when Jesus walked on the water.
Oh, yeah.
And they've got it in a museum. And when you're on the Sea of Galilee, it's... You got hills on all sides of it, and storms are just, because of its location, can very quickly come up. So when they, after the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus said, everybody, go to the other side, and I'll meet you over there. They didn't know what Jesus meant. And they were rowing, and a storm came up, and then comes Jesus walking on the water to them. And they were all scared. Oh, man, this is a ghost. And Jesus said, be not afraid, it is I. And Peter said, if it's you, tell me to come and walk to you on the water. And Peter gets out of the boat, starts walking on the water, but he looks around, sees the wind boisterous. He starts to sink, and he cries, Lord, save me. And then Jesus takes him by the hand. They walk into the boat, and then there's a great calm. And wow, I mean, it's the same spot where there was another time that they were on this lake, and a boat about the size that I saw, I'm guessing about 20 feet long, kind of a big rowboat. It did have a sail to it too, though, about 20 feet or so. And he was asleep in the hinder parts of the ship, and a storm camp comes up, and they wake him up and say, Lord, carest thou not that we perish? And they wake him up, and he says, peace, still. And there was a great calm. And he says, why are you so fearful? Why is it that you don't have any faith? And what manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? Now, I can understand the apostles. I mean, hey, we're about ready to die. Can't you see us rocking? You're sleeping?
Yeah.
I mean, the Lord had everything under control. He was the master of the winds and the waves. So I know that happened on this lake. Lots and lots of other places in Israel Archaeologists will say, well, we believe this is where this happened and this is where that happened, but we know what happened on the Sea of Galilee. There are a lot of stories in the New Testament about that.
How big a body of water is that?
About 12 miles long and about 5 miles wide.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a big interior lake, but it's not like a great lake, though. It's not, but because of its location and the mountains around it, major storms come up quickly.
Sure.
And when you're in a, and so it was that is very cool. Now, but Israel is divided between three different sections. The northern part is called Galilee. The southern part is called Judea, and this part in the center is called Samaria. Most of Samaria, the west side of the Jordan River, is controlled by the Palestinians. You don't do a lot of tourism there, but we did do some. We went to a place called Shiloh, which is near Jericho, which is the city, you know, that was brought down by the Lord during the days of Joshua. But Shiloh was the place, and this is just now they're really starting to understand more about Shiloh, where it is, and whether or not there would be a lot of excavation, I'm not sure. But it was a false center of worship. First, to begin with, it was where Joshua first set the tabernacle when they first came over. And that was the center of worship. It was there until David moved it to Jerusalem, and then eventually under Solomon, the temple was built. But also later in history, about the year 950, Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which was the first king of the divided kingdom, and it was called Israel. Let me explain this to everybody. During most of the Old Testament, from the beginning of 2 Kings, Israel was divided into two kingdoms. Judah, the southern kingdom, controlled by the house of David, and then the northern kingdom called Israel. And Jeroboam didn't want all the northern kingdom traveling back to Jerusalem because he afraid that their loyalties would go back to David. So he built a false center of worship at Shiloh, set up two golden calves, and said, hey, it's too far to go to Jerusalem. You can worship here in Samaria, which was a town that would be called, and then, or you can worship up in Dan, which is the northernmost part. And he caused all Israel to sin because most of the Israelis started worshiping there, not in Jerusalem.
Very cool. Very cool. Going to wrap it up on the other side. Final segment of our discussion with Pastor Chatfield. We'll be right back.
Do you have a fear of running out of money during retirement, or maybe worried about another market crash as the one we experienced in 2008? I have solutions, whether it's for education, family, retirement, gift giving, or simple protection of your hard-earned money. I have a number of contractual guaranteed payouts to choose from. Call Laura today at Bogdan Insurance, 231-264-6890. Again, 231-264-6890. Serving Northern Michigan since 1998.
Trucker Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. patriotsrelief.com.
Well, I'm sure by now y'all up here in northern Michigan have heard of Curtis Gunsmithing, the little gun shop over here off Picker Lake Road in Petoskey. Mr. Tom Curtis can fix any gun you put in front of him. The gun doctor is a certified gunsmith. You won't find one better in the north. And you sure as heck don't have to travel out of town to go see one. Get your quality gun work done right here in your town. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey. Give Tom a call today at 231-838-5571. Come see the gun doctor.
Life is a wonderful journey, from fresh beginnings and future adventures to all the best life has to offer. Along this incredible journey, you want to safeguard what's most important to you. Hi, I'm Tristan Cole, your local Farm Bureau insurance agent, and I'm always nearby to help protect you and your loved ones along the way. Let's talk about your journey and protecting what matters most. Call me at 231-533-6489 or visit me online at TristanCole.com. We're Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Maybe you're looking to sell an old firearm that's been sitting around the house just collecting dust. Or maybe you've been thinking it's time to upgrade to a newer model or caliber. Either way, the place to go is Curtis Gunsmithing in Petoskey. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, they buy and sell pretty much anything that goes boom when you pull the trigger. Except rocket launchers, they don't buy or sell those. So if you're looking for a new firearm or just want to sell old Betsy, you're sure to get a fair price and friendly service to boot at Curtis Gunsmithing in Petoskey.
No matter what you are, I will always be with you. Doesn't matter what you do, girl, I'll go with you. No matter what you do.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Final segment of our discussion with Pastor Chatfield. I got a text message for you. Is this a trip that you would recommend for believers to be on our bucket list? Is this something we should try to strive for, save for, maybe plan? Is it something we should even do right now, take advantage of the lower prices based on, you know, what's going on? If you could just unmute your mic, we'll be good to go. There we go.
I'm unmuted, yep. Let me just say this. And my guides probably wouldn't like this. Danger part, I don't think it's that dangerous. I didn't feel that. I didn't feel the danger. That said, you know, we get to the Lord Jesus Christ via faith. We don't get there via relics and. I walked into the Garden Tomb, where the Lord, where archaeologists think that the Lord resurrected. I walked in, got a picture there, and there's a hole there, and how'd it feel? I mean, you know, we don't know 100% on any of these things. I saw the place where people believe that Jesus was born, and where they believe the cave was, where he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. And the Roman Catholics have a section where they think this is the Church of the Resurrection, and then Protestants believe it's somewhere else. Well, which one do you believe? I don't know. How would I know? Oh, is there some sort of special feeling did you get? No, I get no special feelings. I'm kind of, it was a place of learning, and it was good, but that's all I can say. Yes, it's worth going to. It's as good a place as anywhere in the world to go to. Someday when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, though, we're going to be going, that's going to be our headquarters. I've seen it twice.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I'm going to go again. Maybe I will. I don't know. You know,
would you rank it higher than necessarily going to see the battlefields of the Revolutionary War, for example?
Yeah, that's a good question. For me?
Yeah.
No, I don't. For me. Whoa, wait a minute. That's a strange thing for a pastor to say. Look, God the Holy Spirit, when we preach the gospel and a person gets saved, and God's Spirit comes in and dwells in you in America, South America, Australia, you know, that's Christ living in you, the hope of glory, the Bible says. If I go where, and I view this Dome of the Rock, this mosque, and say, well, the temple will be built there someday. Okay, I believe it. That said, you know what? Christ lives in me right now.
Sure.
And someday, yes, it's good, but I, I'm the minority here of all the pastors I went with. I've heard pastors say this. It was a life-changing experience. Here's what I say. I learned. I understand the geography better now. And I understand some things I didn't quite understand. You know, the Mount of Olives, Mount Zion, Mount Moriah. I have a picture in my head now where all these things were.
Sure.
Mount Hebron, Mount Hermon, Mount Carmel, Mount, you know, the Dead Sea. I understand more. But that said,
so this contributed to perhaps you being even maybe a better pastor when you preach about these locations out of Scripture. Now you can speak and actually know and picture in your mind what they're talking about in the Bible.
Yes, I say it's helpful. I say it's helpful for me, but it's not a moving experience for me. It wasn't. Now I'm the exception, though. I'm the exception. When I was at Gettysburg and standing where I think Lincoln gave the Gettysburg Address,
yeah,
wow. Listen, I don't have the Holy Spirit. When a person gets saved, when they put their faith in Christ, the one who died for them was buried and rose again. When you get saved, God's Spirit comes dwells in you, and the Bible is opened miraculously by you as you read the Bible, and the Spirit of God helps you understand it. That's one thing. When I go to Gettysburg and look at where the 20th of Maine stood at Little Round Top, I don't have the Holy Spirit there, but I, speaking to me, but I can understand it. That's human understanding.
Sure,
it's different. I don't need that by going. But when I read the Bible, the Spirit of God explains it to me. Not this is where Jesus was born. Okay, I looked at it. Well, I looked in. Okay, fine. That's what you tell me. I don't know that for a fact. I know that God is real, and because the Bible says so, and boy, we rest on what the Word of God says, not on some trip that we take. Now, is it worth going? Yes, I'd encourage you to go. I'm a big supporter of Israel, but you know, I didn't get saved in Israel. And you don't have to go to Israel to get saved. You got to put your faith in Christ.
Right.
Hey, exactly. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. I do. I get it. Well, one thing that we're excited about is that, number one, you had safe travels, no problems, no security, didn't feel threatened. So if people do want to go, do you recommend perhaps the tour guide or the person you use? Would that be something?
I mean,
was he good?
Yes, I do. Yes, it was good. These guys, especially as they're old friends of mine. John Reynolds is a real friend of mine. And he went to Tennessee Temple. He's a lover of Lee Robertson. You've heard me talk about before. But
yeah.
His son Aaron is contemplating a PhD in archaeology, and he's immersed himself in understanding all these things.
Wow.
And that is good. That is helpful. But it's not absolutely necessary to your spiritual development. But
yeah,
it's good and fun and helpful and learning. And it and I don't have any problem. I don't have any issues whether it's safe or not. That's not the issue whatsoever. It is safe.
Very good.
Is there any place on earth? It's like what President Trump said. Well, you have security guarantees. Is this thing going to be safe? And you know, did President Trump feel safe when he was speaking last summer and a bullet went almost killed him? He felt
right.
safe, but evidently he wasn't.
Yep. Very good, sir. Well, we appreciate the field report. Thank you, and we'll talk to you next Friday.
Amen. Okay.
Thank you for listening to your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
Life is a wonderful journey, from fresh beginnings and future adventures to all the best life has to offer. Along this incredible journey, you want to safeguard what's most important to you. Hi, I'm Tristan Cole, your local Farm Bureau insurance agent, and I'm always nearby to help protect you and your loved ones along the way. Let's